Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Have you ever known a hard-hearted, critical-spirited person who finally one day showed some compassion? What does it look like when finally you see something in the attitudes or behavior of a person that signals to you perhaps there is the deep heart change happening in that person for which you have been waiting a long time? Yesterday, I left you in a very difficult moment. Old Jacob was arguing with his grown sons. They were running out of food in the middle of a terrible drought and famine. The only available food was in Egypt, but they could only return there to buy more food if they brought their youngest brother Benjamin with them, as proof that they had been telling the truth to the Egyptian official who had sold them grain when they last went shopping in Egypt a few months before. But Jacob was heartbroken at the thought of sending Benjamin, since already he had grieved for Joseph, whom he presumed was killed more than 20 years before by a ferocious animal, since the brothers had brought him Joseph's multicolored coat stained in blood. Jacob was also grieving that when the brothers returned from their last shopping trip in Egypt, they had been forced to leave Simeon behind as a prisoner, since they were suspected to be spies. But when heartbreak stares starvation in the face, even the most difficult, gut-wrenching decisions can be made. Have you found yourself in that place before, my friends? Finally, Jacob agreed. If it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of our land in your bags and take them down to the official as a gift. A little balm, honey, and some spices and myrrh, and some nuts. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into your sacks. And may God Almighty El Shaddai grant you mercy before the man so that he will let your other brother Simeon and Benjamin come back with you. Genesis 43:11-14. What do you see in his eyes? What do you hear in his words, my friends? I hear a changing man, no longer the deceiver, the manipulator. I hear an honest man insisting that his sons take both the money they owe for the first shipment of grain, but now money to buy a second shipment. That's not the Jacob we've seen over the past many years, is it? And I see Jacob calling on God's help and referring to God by the covenant name that God used when he met with Abraham. The truth is, we haven't seen much spiritual passion or leadership of his family in Jacob for many decades. But now something is changing deep inside Jacob. Despair is powerful and has a way of bringing us to God unlike anything else. Have you found that to be true in your life, my friends? In his despair, I see both honesty and a spiritual hunger in Jacob for the first time in a very long time. The record says, "So the brothers took the gifts and doubled the amount of silver and Benjamin also, and they hurried down to Egypt." Can you imagine the tearful farewell as they headed down the road, leaving Jacob standing near his tent, watching them with tear-filled eyes until they disappeared over the horizon? Can you imagine what the brothers talked about and how they prepared Benjamin for what he would see and maybe experience in Egypt? I wonder how they coached Benjamin to behave, and they probably agreed they would not share any more family information with the Egyptian official who awaited them. Finally, the storehouse city was in view. It had taken several long days of walking, from before sunup to well after sundown, but they were desperate. I well imagine the brothers once again expected a harsh, confrontational meeting with the Egyptian official, perhaps even bad news that Simeon had grown sick and died in the dungeon. The record says the brothers hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my house and prepare dinner. They are to eat with me at midday." The man did as Joseph instructed him and took the brothers to Joseph's house. Now they were frightened, and they thought, "We are brought here because of the silver which was put back into our sacks. He wants to attack us and seize us as slaves." It's not difficult for us to imagine why they would feel frightened and certain that no good thing would come of being brought to the Egyptian official's home. Can you imagine what they saw and what they said to each other as they entered the beautiful home of the man second in command only to the Pharaoh? Evidently, they agreed it might be wise to try and negotiate with the steward of the house. So they approached him humbly and tried to explain they were all brothers who'd come from Canaan to buy food for their starving families. They pulled out of their pockets the little pouches of silver coins and explained how the last time they came to buy grain, they'd paid for the grain with this silver, But when they stopped for the night on their return trip home, they each found their silver back in their grain sacks. I commend them for that, don't you? Finally, humility and honesty was taking root in the ruthless sons of Jacob, who had learned deception and greed from their father Jacob. It seems to me God was working in Jacob and his sons, as the Spirit of God was breaking through decades of hardness of heart and deceitfulness. But nothing could have prepared the brothers for what was next. The steward of Joseph's house responded to them, "It's all right. Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I am the one who received your silver." Then the steward brought their brother Simeon out to them. Genesis 43:23. I doubt any of us can imagine their shock. The steward must have been speaking a language they understood, at least enough for them to understand each other. What did he mean by telling them he had received their silver and knew all about why it was back in their sacks? What could he possibly mean by speaking of their God? What did he know of their land of Canaan and their family heritage of Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham and their covenant God? And how was it Simeon was alive and now reunited with them? The steward took the brothers into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. The brothers prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival. Look around, my friends, what do you see? What are they thinking as they sit and wait for the Egyptian official who had been so harsh to them the last time they saw him several months ago? What did Simeon tell them about how he had been treated in prison? Suddenly, the doors opened, and the bodyguards entered, and then Joseph in his royal attire. The moment long awaited had arrived. Frightened, the brothers held their breath, wondering what this Egyptian official would say. Their fate was in his hands. The record says the brothers presented to him the gifts they had brought, and they bowed before him down to the ground. Let's pause one moment here, my friends. Have you given much thought to the day you will stand before the ultimate judge of all mankind, God himself? Listen to the warning from Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before him to whom we must give account. Almighty, all-knowing God is omniscient. That means nothing of all time is unknown to God. He is eternal, so he has seen all things from eternity past. He is omnipresent. That means everywhere present at all times. So he has seen all things in all places at all times. So when this day of reckoning comes, there will be nothing, absolutely nothing, in anyone's life that will not be accounted for. And this accounting is by holy, almighty God, who is perfect. So the standard by which every thought, word, choice, attitude, and action will be judged is holy perfection. So, my friends, how do you think you will fare on that day? Here's another glimpse of that day. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. And each person was judged according to what he had done. If anyone's name was not found in the book of life, they were thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. That is a picture of the final great judgment day, when every person who has ever lived will stand before God as their ultimate judge. The book of life is the book where every person's name is recorded when they trust Jesus Christ to save them from their sin condemnation. That's the only way to get your name recorded in that book. Those with names in that book will be invited into an eternity with God in heaven. Those whose names are not recorded there because they have not fully trusted in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection for their salvation will be sent into the lake of fire for all eternity with Satan. As Joseph stood before his brothers, this moment is a picture of that final judgment day for all mankind. The brothers have no idea that this Egyptian official is their brother Joseph, and he knows everything about them, and especially their rejection of him when they sold him as a slave. When you and I stand before God, he will know absolutely everything about us, everything, according to Hebrews 4:13. They've brought gifts, hoping they could negotiate for the Egyptians' official favor. They brought their younger brother, as he demanded. They brought the silver which had been placed in their sacks. But you and I are unable to bring anything but ourselves and our life story when we stand before God. But even after all that, the brothers stand fully and completely at the Egyptian official's mercy, for he is the Lord of the land, and at his word they will live or die. They will be given grain and sent home to their families, or they'll be imprisoned or enslaved. They wait, heads bowed for his word. They stand as you and I will stand, except they stand as a family of brothers. You and I will stand individually. They have brought gifts. You and I will stand empty-handed, and we will be judged on how we lived the lifetime God gave to us. You and I both know we will be found guilty if we are compared to God's perfection. From our infancy, we have been sinful, and as adults, no matter how hard we try, at the core of our being, we are sinful people. We deserve eternal punishment in that lake of fire. The only way out of eternal punishment is if Jesus' death and resurrection is applied as payment in full to our sin by Almighty God Himself. And the only way that He will do this is if we do these things. First, acknowledge our sin and our guilt as sinners, deserving of eternal separation from His holy presence, according to Ephesians 2. Second, believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be, God the Son, and therefore His death on the cross can be atonement payment in full for my sin, guilt, and yours. John 3:16-19 and Colossians 1:15-22. Three, trust God to be truthful and trust His promise of accepting Jesus' payment on my behalf if I repent of my sin and trust in Him for His accomplishment of my salvation from my sin condemnation. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 to 30. And four, repent of my sin and ask God to apply Jesus' payment to my sin debt and entrust my life to Jesus for the rest of my life and my eternity. Acts 2, 37 to 39 and Romans 5. God promises that when a person does these actions in true faith in God, then God will do all the work of salvation, forgiveness from sin guilt, adoption into God's family, the Holy Spirit taking up residence within us. We are guaranteed eternal life in heaven with God. May I ask, my friends, do you have the assurance that when you stand before God, the great judge, your name will be found written in the book of life because you have fully trusted Jesus for your salvation and all your sins are covered by His death payment? Thus, you will be welcomed as a son or daughter into God's eternal presence. Now is a perfect moment for you to talk with God about this and make sure your day of judgment is reckoned right now. Now here's a song to help you thank God for His justice plan for your salvation and mine. I hope it's your story, my friends.